Today's daf is Bava Basra daf Kuf Samach Hei. We left off on daf Kuf Samach Dalet Amud Beis. We just concluded yesterday with a couple of stories that require explanation. Two stories that seem to have something to do with each other. Where the first one was that Rebbe was given a get makushar, and Rebbe said, "What's going on in this get? I don't see that there's any zman in the get." So Rabbi Shimon Bar Rebbe told him that if you look carefully and you take apart the kasharim, you'll find that the zman is written on the inside. So in fact, he did that, and he saw that the zman was written on the inside. But Rebbe wasn't happy. He wasn't happy that the shtar was written in such a way where even a great Talmud Chacham like himself was able to become confused by it. So he looked at Rabbi Shimon, his son, and he was all upset. So Rabbi Shimon said, "Well, don't blame me. I'm not the guy who wrote it. It was Rabbi Yehuda Chaita who wrote it." So Rebbe then got really upset at Rabbi Shimon, and he said, "Well, how could you tell Lashon Hara about the guy? That's not nice. If you see that I'm upset about it, so why would you throw him under the bus? Why would you speak Lashon Hara about him? It's not, you shouldn't do that." Then another story that seemed to have the exact opposite idea, where again Rabbi Shimon Rebbe saw his father Rebbe reading from a Sefer Tehillim, and Rebbe said, "You know, whoever wrote the Sefer Tehillim did such a magnificent job. The writing is perfect. It's such a beautiful Sefer Tehillim." And Rabbi Shimon Rebbe, figuring he'd make up for his negative comment previously, said, "Well, you know, I'm not the one that wrote it. It's Rabbi Yehuda Chaita who wrote it. He's the one that did such a great job writing the Sefer Tehillim." So again, Rabbi says, "Don't speak Lashon Hara. It's not nice. You shouldn't say Lashon Hara about him." So the Gemara says, "Bishlam Masamika Lashon Hara, Lahacham Lashon Hara Ika." What kind of Lashon Hara is this? That's saying something very nice, that he wrote a beautiful Sefer Tehillim. So this is the Gemara, Mishum Derav Dimi, Detani Rav Dimi, Achua Derav Safra, Li Olam Al Yisaper Adam Bitovaso Shel Chavero, Shemitoch Tovaso Balidei Ra'aso. That a person shouldn't even speak about the nice things, good things about somebody else, because when you speak good things about somebody else, ultimately, it's bali de ra'aso, leads to bad things. And therefore, not only should one not say negative things about other people, you shouldn't say positive things about other people either. That's also considered lashon hara. So the obvious question that we raised yesterday is, you're never allowed to say anything about anybody. Nothing good or bad. You just can't speak about anybody ever. You're not allowed to give a compliment. You're not allowed to say, you know, this person did a great job at this endeavor or whatever it was that he had done. Adrabah, we find that Tanoim did it. We find Mishnayos and Avos about, who was it, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah describing his Talmidim, that this one is a sponge that absorbs everything, and this one is a Mayan, a Meskaber, and this... compliments to his Talmidim. How can you give such compliments to people? How can you say such nice things about them if, after all, that's going to be considered Lashon Hara? So the Marsha asks that we find in Shas a lot of times where the Chacham were Meshabeach the Talmidim, and we don't find that they were Choshesh, that it's going to be Lashon Hara. And also the Rambam. The Rambam speaks about the Shivchei Chachamim Umalo Sayem. He speaks about the wonderful things that the Chachamim had. He speaks very high compliments because he's hoping that we could learn lessons from what the Chachamim did, from things that the Chachamim have done. Isn't he worried about Lashon Hara? So there are several approaches in the Rishonim and Achronim to deal with this. In Birei Adaf over here, he quotes 9 approaches. I'm not going to do 9, it's a little much, but a couple of basic approaches. First of all, the Rashbam seems clear that the natural way of speaking is that when you speak a lot of praise about someone, ultimately it causes people to speak Begenusa as well. And the Meiri explains that when you speak Yoser Midai about someone's praises, so ultimately people say, "Yeah, but..." You know, it always leads to "yeah, but no one's that great," and therefore, if you go overboard in praising somebody, that's asking for trouble with the lashon hara. So it just has to be proportional to what they actually are. If you go overboard, then that's going to be problematic. Now the problem with that is applying to our Gemara, the Marsha and the Chiddush Hagados and the Magen Avraham and Archaim Sim Kuf Nun Vav point out that it doesn't seem to really fit our Gemara, because what did he say already? He said that he wrote a nice Sefer Tehillim. Is that like so overboard? I mean, what's it's not like the greatest praise in the whole world. So that seems a little bit difficult to apply to our Gemara. The Rashi explains that sometimes when you speak positive, Rashi in Eirchin Daf Tezayin, Eirchin is where the Lashon Hara sugyas are. So Rashi explains that sometimes when you speak nicely about somebody, you feel the need to qualify it. right? You need to, people very often will say he did this, but, you know, he also, or, you know, not that he always does stuff like this. You know, you just, very often people feel the need to qualify it and to limit it in that way. So it often leads, you just have to be careful the way you give Shevach, that the way you give Shevach shouldn't have Lashon Hara attached to it. Meaning, over here, it could be that Rebbe was telling his son, yeah, the same guy who you just said that he did a terrible job writing the get, now you're saying he did a great job writing the Sefer Tehillim, that's likely to lead you to say, oh, he wrote a beautiful Sefer Tehillim, but, you know, he's also the guy that wrote that get that was terrible. So you don't want to, especially when it can lead to qualifying the statement, that's not a good idea. Shidim Betza says, in the name of the Shita, Lo No Delami, that a person who generally is a good person and most things he does are positive, so you're allowed to be marba b'shivcha. It's only by a person who's mixas ma'isav are na'im and mixas ma'isav are ra'im, who, you know, an average person, does things one way or the other way, so then you shouldn't be marba l'saper b'shvachav. So that's dafka why the Gemara has the two stories connected to each other. Because here you have a person, at least, it's not talking about his midos, just talking about in the way, in his writing skills, that we have stories L'ra'aso, stories L'tavaso, so then you shouldn't be marbil l'saper b'shvachav when there are stories that go either way, because that's likely to lead you to say Lashon Hara. Now the Rambam has a totally different take. The Rambam, you know, most of these Mahalchim are along the same lines. The Rambam is a totally different take. The Rambam says that only l'fnei sonav shalosa adam, only in front of the enemies of that person, you shouldn't speak his shevach, because that's going to cause them to say, oh, you think he's such a great guy? Let me tell you about him. That's going to cause them to say Lashon Hara. But b'fnei ohavav, in front of people who like him, you're allowed to be mesaper b'shvachav. Now, what about our Gemara? And our Gemara was in front of Rebbe. Rebbe, Mistama, was not Sonav. So either you could say, yeah, but Rebbe didn't like the way the guy, you know, Rebbe's only other experience with this guy, apparently, is when he did something not good. So he says, you know, if you know that I've had negative experiences with this guy, even though I'm Rebbe and I'm unlikely to speak Lashon Hara, if you know I've had negative experiences with this fellow, then you shouldn't tell me, you shouldn't be marbil l'saper b'shvachav, because that type of behavior often leads to Lashon Hara. The Rambam Pirush Mishnayos just adds that only those types of shevach that are going to cause the enemies to get angry, you shouldn't say. But a shevach that's not going to cause them to get angry, meaning if you're an enemy of somebody and you hear something nice about him, and it's going to get, it might get you angry that why are you saying such nice things about this person? So if it's the type of thing that would get the sone angry and cause him to have to address it and to argue, so that's where you're going to have a problem. The most fascinating chiluk, though, I thought, and with this will be the last one we do, is the Chassam Sofer. The Chassam Sofer writes that the Chassam Sofer in Tshuva Chiluk Vav Siman Nun Tes writes that the difference is when you're saying Lashon Hara binyane gashmius or binyane ruchnius. So he says binyane di alma, that are not nogea to any gedula b'toro, meisim tovim, or anything like that, then you can't be misaper. But when it comes to inyane ruchnius, where a person is, you're speaking about how what, the mitzvahs that he does and the wonderful things that he does, then it's mutal l'saper b'shvachav, which is a very interesting insight. Meaning, very often when you say nice things about the person's gashmius, you say, "Oh, he's such a beautiful house, such an awesome car, such a this." So you might think that you're saying a shevach, that you're saying something nice, but not everyone takes that as nice. Some people say, "Oh, he's ostentatious." Is it? So when you're mashbiach gashmius, that's not always a good thing. That's not always taken as a good thing either. So that you have to be very careful about being mashbiach a person's gashmius, but being mashbiach ruchnius, there's no two ways to take it. So over here, he's just talking about some physical skill that he had, that he was able to write very nicely. Although l'chora over here, it sounds more like ruchnius because he was writing a Sefer Tehillim, and it's Adrabba. Rabbi Kivega writes in the Akadamas and Shuvas that it's very important to have very nice printings of Svarim. That was one thing he left when his children were going to print his Shuvas. He said, just make sure that they're readable. You have to make sure that that it's in a nice print, because people don't want to read things that aren't in a nice print. So one could argue that it's certainly a Dvar Mitzvah over here. But as an idea, the Chassam Sofer's idea is certainly a worthwhile idea, whether it's the Pshat in our Gemara or not the Pshat in our Gemara. The idea is certainly correct. Okay, so we are now four lines from the bottom of the page on Kuf Samach Dalaran Beis. Amar Rav. Shalosh Averos in Adam Nitzel Mehen B'chol Yom. There are three Averos that a person is not saved from each and every day. Meaning there are three Averos that people violate daily. And they are Hirhur Avera, V'iyun Tfila, V'lashon Hara. Right? Those are three Averos that a person violates every single day. So which of the three would bother you as saying, come on, people really violate that every day? So first of all, we need to translate all of them. Hirhur Avera, Pashtus is referring to Hirhurim of Arayos, it's Losurachre, Einechem, of that type of Hirhur Avera. So people violate that every single day. And you have to remember, this was written before the age of the internet, and when women were not even in the workforce, and when, you know, one's encounters with women were not nearly what it is today. And still, the Gemara said that people are not Nitzel B'chol Yom from Hirhur Avera. Iyun Tefillah. Now, what is Iyun Tefillah? So that's a little bit more complicated. What exactly the definition of Iyun Tefillah is? Says Rashbam in the very bottom line, Yesh Mefarshim Shela Acher Shehispalel Dun Belibo Sheyishalim Al Kodesh Baruch Hu Tzcharo V'Yasa Kodesh Baruch Hu Tzrachav V'Yishma Tefillah So L'Fish Hespalel B'Kavana. After a person davens, he says, you know, God's got to listen to that, because that was a great tefillah. I just did a great job davening, and a person starts to believe that the Ribbono Shel Olam has to respond to his tefillah because he did such a great job davening. That's Iyun Tefillah. The Tzlach in Maseches Brachos and Daf Lamed Beis says that's what the Chassidim Arishonim were doing with the Sha'a Achas after davening, right? We know the Mishnah tells us that the Chassidim Arishonim spent the Sha'a Achas before davening preparing for davening. So we understand before davening what they were doing. They were getting into the right frame of mind, and they were preparing their Kavana, and they were trying to make sure that they stay focused, right? Because you can't just go into davening cold straight from some other endeavor. Your mind is going to be all over the place. So we understand what they did before davening. What in the world are they doing after davening? Why did they have to sit there for an hour after davening? What were they accomplishing by sitting there for an hour after davening? So says the Tzlach, Maseches Brachos, this is what they were doing. They wanted to make sure to humble themselves after davening, not to think that HaKadosh Baruch Hu owes them one, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to pay them back and respond to their tefillos in the affirmative. That's what they spent an hour doing. They spent an hour trying to humble themselves about just how good a job they really did during their tefillah. In the Magen Giborim in Aruch Chaim, he even suggests that that's why it's a greater maila to daven a quicker davening than it is to daven a longer Shmoneh Esrei. So someone davens a very long Shmoneh Esrei and he starts to convince himself, wow, I did such a great job, the Ribbono Shel Olam has to listen to me. He says, you don't always have to be the one davens the longer Shmoneh Esrei in the shul. You daven a little bit shorter and then you're unlikely to come to this Avera of Iyun Tefillah that the Gemara says so many people fail in this Avera of Iyun Tefillah. Tosos, however, defines Iyun Tefillah differently. Right? Tosos says Iyun Tefillah, who rak shemahar b'tefillah, so k'damrinin b'brachos, hama'ayin b'tefillah, so bali de ke'ev leiv, k'damrinin ha'asam, el dvar maskim rabbanosav shaladam kir natoi v'iyun tefillah, v'hasha v'dum yudihur avera, meaning the Iyun Tefillah, first he says, like the Rashbam, and then he rejects it, and he says, Avaleinu nira, the lama einu nitzel b'chol yom. Harbi b'nei adam einu mitzapim masa yavol tefilasim shenu mechavim kol kach sheitzapu tefilasim. He says, really, how many people are so confident that their tefilas are so perfect? Most of us realize that our tefilas are really need improvement. So is that something that people can't be saved from every day? He says, I agree that it's an avera, what the Rashbam says. That if a person davens and thinks that the Ribbono Shel Olam owes him one, that he davens so well that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to answer what he wants, I agree that that's an avera. But that can't be the avera the Gemara is talking about, because the Gemara is saying these are things that people are not saved from b'chol yom. People are not saved b'chol yom from having such overconfidence in their tefillah. He says, I find that hard to believe that people have such confidence in their tefillah. So what's our Gemara talking about? Says Tosfos, v'nir l'rebi di'iun tefillah shuhura she'ina mechavnim tefillasam. K'damin be'el dvarim shodim ochel perasem v'iun tefillah. U'mizeh ein adam nitzel b'chol yom she'in shum adam yochel chavein b'tefillah so heitiv. It means that you don't have proper kavana in your tefillah. That's all it means. And that everyone realizes that we struggle with. Whatever. I mean, the point is that if a person realizes that we struggle with kavana and tefillah, that's what the Gemara must be referring to. That's the sin of iyun tefillah, a chosar kavana in the tefillah. The Or HaZeruah quotes a third daya from Rabbi Shlomo Mevina, and he likes this third daya, and he says that anyone who's mechavein in the bakashos of the tefillah of his tefillah only l'tzorach atzmo and not l'tzorach klal Yisrael, he doesn't daven for other people, he puts his all of his kavanas into himself. That's a problem of iyun tefillah, and he says it's a double problem. First of all, it's selfish, and second of all he's worried about are those parts that he can relate to himself and his own needs. Then when it gets to the end of the brachas, where you actually say Baruch Ata Hashem, where you're actually blessing the Ribbono Shalom, and when it gets to the shevach of the Ribbono Shalom, he's going to be disinterested, because what does that have to do with him? So that's the avera of iyun tefillah. So these are the three averas. Hirur avera, a person can't. By the way, hirur avera, as we mentioned, is also one of the things the Rambam lists in Hilchos Tshuva as one of the averas that it's impossible for a person to do tshuva on. Why is it impossible for a person to do tshuva on? You put this deadly combination of the fact that it's violated every single day. And as the Rambam says, people don't think of it as an avera, because they say, it's just thoughts, it's not really an avera. So you put the frequency with which it's violated, together with the fact that it's violated, that people don't even view it as a violation of anything. People don't even think they did anything wrong when they had here an avera, and that does not make for a good recipe for tshuva, because there's a lot to do tshuva for, and very little motivation to do tshuva. So that's here an avera, even to feel like we just said in Lashon Hara. So says the Gemara, Lashon Hara sel kadaituch? What? People speak Lashon Hara every day? I don't know. I don't think in our generation we would have asked that kasha. I once heard from a couple times heard from Rav Matisyahu Solomon when we brought the DRS boys to go meet Rav Matisyahu Solomon in Lakewood. He likes to say over apparently that the Medrash tells us that the Ribbono Shel Olam went around to all the different nations asking them if they want the Torah, and they said Maksivba. Well, what does it say in the Torah? You can ask us if we want the Torah, and the Ribbono Shel Olam came up with something to tell them that wouldn't sit well with them. You know, he would tell murderous people, well, it says you can't kill, and people that steal a lot, well, it says you can't steal. So ask Rav Matisyahu Solomon, what if the Jewish people would not have said Nasav Nishma, if we would have challenged God and would have said Maksivba, what would the answer have been? What would have been our greatest challenge? So he says, I believe that the answer would have been Lashon Hara. The Ribbono Shel Olam would have said, it says Lashon Hara in the Torah, and we would have said, then we can't do that. Then we're not interested. So it's a little shocking that the Gemara says, Lashon Hara sal gadai? People speak Lashon Hara every day? That's not such a kasha, I don't think. So the answer is Gemara, El Avak Lashon Hara. No, people don't speak real Lashon Hara every day, but Avak Lashon Hara. I mean, no one, perhaps the Gemara is alluding to the fact that no one thinks of themselves as actually saying Lashon Hara. No, but we say things that we know people will get a wrong impression from, and people. So that's Avak Lashon Hara. So that is violated with very great frequency, and that's the problem. Amar Avidom Rav, Rov Begezel, most people steal. Umiyut ba'arayos, a lesser amount of people violate arayos, va'kol b'lashon hara, but everyone speaks lashon hara. So, lashon hara sal kadaitach, again, everyone speaks lashon hara, ela avak lashon hara. No, it doesn't mean everyone speaks lashon hara, it means that everyone speaks at least avak lashon hara, that avak lashon hara is a real problem for us. Okay, fine, that's the end of the agadata for now. Says the Gemara, the Mishnah at the beginning of the parak started off by telling us that there are two types of shtaros. There's a get mekushar and a get pashut, right? And the Rabbi Shimon Gamliel said that you do whichever type of shtar they typically write in that place, right? That you follow the minhag medina in terms of whether you're going to write a get pashut or a get mekushar. So says the Gemara, V'tanakama less than minhag medina. Why? Tanakama doesn't think you should follow the minhag medina. Tanakama doesn't hold to the concept of minhag medina that you should write the type of shtar that's typically written in that location. Everyone holds of minhag medina. Why is it only Rav Shmuel Gamliel who's giving us this tremendous chiddush of a kol minhag medina? Amar Rav Ashi ba'asra dinahigi pashut. So he said, let's go through a few examples. In a case where they typically write, where the minhag is to write a get pashut, va'amrle avid li pashut, and the person requested to write for him a get pashut, Va'azal avalei mukushar, and you, the shliach, go and write a get mukushar instead of a get pashut, kpeda. Then for sure it's no good, right? Because it's against the minhag, and it's against the specific request of the mishaleach. He asked you to write a get pashut, and you were to get mukushar, then he's definitely makbid. Says Rashbam, so what, he's makbid? Vim get isha pasul garish bo. If it's a get isha, then you can't use it for gittin. It can't. It's not written lishma, it wasn't written with the shlich sabal, and therefore it's totally invalid, even though it has all the necessary requirements of a get. But you're missing the most important requirement, which is the das abal. So that's one situation where there's no doubt. Nihigi Makushar, another situation, where the bidig is to try to get Makushar. Va'amalei avadli Makushar. And the guy said to the shliach, I want you to write for me a get Makushar. Va'azal avadli pashut. And instead he went and he made a get pashut. Kpeda. That's obviously same situation, right? There was the minhag was a certain way. You asked him to follow the minhag, and he went and he didn't follow the minhag. So that's also that's also pashut that he's makbid, and that's not going to be kosher. If you look at the top tosos, ba'asher dini pashut amalei zil avli pashut v'avli mukushar mashma mishum da amalei avli pashut. Sounds like it's only because he made the request to follow the minhag medina. Avli amalei stama zil avli gita v'avli mukushar kosher. What it sounds from this gemara is that if the minhag is to write a certain type of get, let's say the minhag is to write a get pashut, and I don't tell him what kind of shtar to write. I just say write me a shtar, and he goes against the minhag and he writes the get makushar, even though the minhag is to write a get pashut. Says also sounds from our gemara, it's kosher, because when the gemara wants to come up with cases that it's pasul, it dafka comes up with cases where the request that's made by the baal is that the get be written in accordance with the minhag. But if he doesn't have any such specific request, sounds like it would be kosher even if you go against the minhag. Afal gavde ba'asher d'nehi b'pashut, ba'asher d'nehi b'pashut, even though it's a place that they're knowing b'pashut. Ubikdushin amar, afal gavde lo amar kim avli gita, tachi isi b'girsa hasam ba'asher d'nehi b'pashut v'avile mekushar. But in the Gemara Kiddushin, he says, it sounds the opposite, right? It sounds that even if you don't make any specific requests, it's just that the guy went against the minhag. The minhag of this makom is that everyone makes a mekushar. You told him to write you again, and he wrote you a pashut, or the opposite. So that alone would be no good. So it seems like a stira in the two lashonos of the Gemara. Okay, but our Gemara seems like that would be kosher. But kiplegi, where's the machlokas in our Gemara in our situation? Where's the machlokas of Shum Liel and Tanakama in our Mishnah? Where's their machlokas whether minhag makom plays a role in the following situation? Ba'asra d'nehigi b'pashut umekushar. A place where they make pashut and mukushar, where there is no single minhag that everyone follows. Some people do pashut, some people make a mukushar. Va'amalei avadli pashut. And he said, please make for me a get pashut. Va'azal avadli mukushar. And the guy went and he made a get mukushar. So now the minhag doesn't determine anything. So mar savar kpeda. So one shita holds, Tanakama holds, no, he was makbid when he dafka said, I want you to make for me a pashut. He meant, and not a makushar, and if you make a makushar, it's therefore no good. Umar sover mara makam ulo. And others say, no, he was just trying to make it easy. He was just saying, write for me a get, and get pashut. You want to make a get makushar, that's fine too. He was just giving an example of what kind of shtar to write, but he wasn't being insistent that a daf could be a get pashut. That why would he care so much whether it's one way or the other? He just gave an example. It's just mara makam ulo. Fine. Amar Abaye, so Abaye comments, wait a second, this idea of Mara Makom Hulo leads me to the following thought, that Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Lazar, Kulu Sviru Lehu Mara Makom Hulo, that there are three major shitos in Tanayim who all hold of the general concept of Mara Makom Hulo. Kulu Sviru Lehu, right, tells us in several places in Shas discusses the difference between Kulu Sviru Lehu and Kulu Mamru Davar Echad, that Kulu Sviru Lehu does not necessarily mean they all agree with each other's application. It just means they all hold of the broad concept of Mara Makom Hulo. How they apply it, they might not all agree, but we see that they each apply the concept in their own places. They each apply the concept of Mara Makom Hulo in different halachos. That's Kulu Sviru Lehu. But if you say Kulu Mamru Davar Echad, that implies that they actually all agree with each other, that there would be no machlokas. But anyway, all these shitos from Shmuel, Rav Shimon, and Blazer all hold the concept at least broadly, of Mara Makom Hilo. So where do we find that all three of these Tanaim hold that way? Rav Shmuel Gamliel Hadiamrin. Rav Shmuel Gamliel, we just said, with the get Pashut and get Mekushar, that if it's a place where the minhag is to write either a Pashut or a Mekushar, and you asked him to write a Pashut and he wrote you a Mekushar, it was just Mara Makom Hilo, it's perfectly kosher, there's nothing wrong with that. Rabbi Shimon, where do we find that Rabbi Shimon holds this way? The Tanan, we have the Mishnah, Rabbi Shimon Omer, im hita l'shvach harezu mukudashas. That if you misled the person in a positive way, l'shvach, then it's mukudashas, then the Kiddushin works. What exactly is the case? So the Rashbam fills in the blanks over here. Says Rashbam, im hita l'shvach b'kiddushin. In the case of Kiddushin, ha'omer iskachi li b'dinar shel kesef v'nimsa shel zahav. You go, you tell your shliach, I want you to take this dinar shel kesef and be mekadesh and isha for me with this dinar shel kesef, and it turns out that the dinar, or you go to the woman and you say, I want you to be mekadeshes to me with this dinar shel kesef, and you give her a dinar that's in a bag, she can't see it, and then she opens it up, and sure enough, it's a dinar shel zahav. It's worth a lot more than you said you were going to give her. That's hitel l'shvach. And that's where Rabbi Shimon says it's mekudeshes. Because why? When you said dinar shel kesef, it was just mara makumula. You weren't insisting that a dafka have to be a dinar shel kesef. You were just saying that even if it were a dinar shel kesef, but if it's a dinar shel zav, obviously that's okay as well. Aval b'shvach yuchsin, says Rashbam, very interesting point. If you tell the woman, I'm a nobody, I don't come from a cheshva family, I don't have any major yichus, would you be mekudeshes to me? Right, harei mekudeshes li, and she accepts. And then it turns out that you're from royalty, and that you're from the most cheshva family, so that is not going to work. Av b'shvach yuchsin, al menas ani levi vu kohen. You say, al menas that I'm a levi, and it turns out that you're really a kohen, which is even greater yichus, lo ma Rabbi Shimon mekudeshes. Rabbi Shimon would not say she's mekudeshes in that case. Da matzi hi lemeimer, very interesting is because she could always say, Mesana derav mikari lo ba'ina. I don't need shoes that are too big on my feet. Meaning it's very intimidating for a person who comes from a regular family to marry into royalty, to marry into someone from much greater yichus. So since she could find it very intimidating, so if she knows about it in advance and she comes to peace with it and she's okay with it and she views it as an opportunity or whatever, so fine. But to spring that on her when she wasn't expecting that, that's not okay. That she could say, this is too much for me. So hitel shvach hainu mara makom misratz b'shal kesef v'kol shkei b'shal zav. So when you're mad to her in terms of the money, and you say, look, here's shel kesef, I'm being mekadesh you with the dinar shel kesef, and it turns out that it's really shel zahav, so then it's certainly no problem. Let's say a woman doesn't know the difference between what white gold and platinum look like, when you give her a ring, so she thinks it's white gold and it turns out to be platinum, so that's perfectly fine if you were mata l'shvach. Now if she thought it was platinum and it turns out that it was white gold, so you probably tell her in advance what the ring for kiddushin actually is. Most women are able to tell the difference, but so says the Gemara, that's the second shita that holds mara makom hulav. Rabbi Lazar, where's the third shita? Where's Rabbi Lazar? Where does he say that mara makom hulo? Tetnan, ha'isha shamar skabeli giti b'makom ploni. A woman says to shliach, I want you to be makabel my get for me in a certain place. V'kiblu la mimakom acher, and he went to a different place to be makabel to get. Puzzle. It's going to be a puzzle get. Why? Says Rashbam, shehi ein rotzel lisbayish b'makom acher. She doesn't want to be embarrassed in that other place, meaning it's embarrassing to get divorced. She didn't want to make a big deal of her divorce in a certain place where maybe she had a lot of friends or she had colleagues or whatever it was. She didn't want to make a big deal of her divorce in that place. So when you go to the wrong place, she was insistent on being done in a certain place where it's not going to be embarrassing for her, so then it's going to be puzzle. But Rabbi Lazar machshir, Rabbi Lazar says it's kasher. Why does Rabbi Lazar say it's kasher? So Mar Sover Kepeda, the Tanakama held, she's dafka makpid, it should be done in this place and not the other place. And Mar Sover, Maramakumulo. And Rabbi Lazar holds, no, it's just Maramakumulo. She was just telling you where to pick up the get from, but she wasn't saying that it has to be done in that place. She was just saying, if you want to find my husband, that's where you can find him, in that place. Rashi, in Maseches Gittin, Rashi in Maseches Gittin Daf Samech Hei says that it's possible because he doesn't want that he's going to be made fun of and he's going to be mocked, meaning from the husband's side also. If the husband says, I want you to give the get to my wife in a certain place, and then he gives it in a different place, he says the same reason as Rashbam over here, that he doesn't want that people should make fun of him, that it should be embarrassing for him, right? It's because of the bizayon of the husband. However, the Tosos Rid explains that the husband is makbid to give the get in a certain place. When the husband is makbid to give the get in a certain place, it's because he's trying to be mevaza the woman. He wants it to be in a place where it's going to cause the greatest bizayon to her. And if that's his intention, when you give it in a different place, so he was makbid on it being done in that place. Again, this is all obviously within the sheet of the Tanakhama. But what's the nafkamina between Rashi and the Tosfos Rid? What difference does it make whether the hakpada of the makom is based on saving his own embarrassment, or the hakpada of the makom is based on trying to embarrass her as much as possible? So in the Sefer Beis Aron, he writes the nafkamina is where the shliach goes and gives it again in the place that he requested. So if the hakpada of the husband was to save his own embarrassment, well, it doesn't help to go give it again in the place that he requested. You already embarrassed him. But if the hakpada was to humiliate her, so good. So you humiliated her a little bit over here, and then a lot in where the place that in the place that he originally wanted. So then it would be a fulfillment of the shlichus. That's a side machlokas in terms of what the hakpada might be within the sheet of the Tanakhama. But again, our focus in this Gemara was not the Tanakhama. Our focus was Rabbi Elazar, because Rabbi Elazar fits in to those other sheetos that all apply this concept of mara makamulo. That sometimes not everything you say are you makbid that it be done dafke in exactly the way you say it. Sometimes you say things just to explain how to make things easier, or how to do it, or where to find things, but you don't really care how it gets done. Okay, says the Gemara Vayter. So the Mishnah had a line where the Rashbam on the Mishnah immediately said that we're going to need to explain this in the Gemara because it doesn't make any sense. The Mishnah said that if a get pashut has only one aid signed on it, then it's pasul, and a get mekusha has only two aids signed on it, that's also pasul. So obviously the difficulty is, of course, to tell me that a get mekusha with two aidim is pasul, okay, that's a chiddush. Two aidim normally are kasher. So you tell me that if there are only two aidim that it's pasul, that's a chiddush. But by a get pashut to say that when there's only one aid signed on the get pashut, that it's pasul, that's a chiddush. What's the chiddush? Of course, you always knew two aidim. So it says in our bishlam, mekusha shekasav b'shnei aidim pasul itzrich. I understand why you would need to tell me that two aidim on a get mekusha is a problem, because salkadai techamina hol bi'alma kasher hachanami kasher. Because I might have thought that since generally two aidim work, over here it should also work. Kamash milan, the pasul. That's why it has to come and tell you, the Mishnah has to tell you that no, two aidim on a get mekushar is pasul. Ela pasul shekasbo eid echad, pshita. But a pashut that has one witness signed on it, that it's going to be pasul? Of course it's pasul. Why would you say anything otherwise? Obviously, a pashut that has only one aid signed on it is going to be pasul. So Amar Abaye, says, now the chiddush is as follows. Lo nitzrucha da'afilu eid echad b'ksav ve'eid echad b'peh. Now the chiddush is, let's say you have an eid echad written on the get, and another aid b'peh, that verbally tells you what happened. So what's the chiddush? So says the Rashbam, Amar Abay lo nitzchu l'misni erechad b'pashul pasul ele hechad d'kamasai le erechad b'alpeh, that the case in the Mishnah where it tells me that it's still pasul is there are two edim. So one of them wrote a signature, and the other one is being made b'alpeh. So wait a second, if they're both being made on the halva'a, so why is that no good? You have two edim being made on halva, one of them in writing a signature and one of them balpeh. So says Rashbam, it's not that it's a possible edos, it's that it's a possible shtar, meaning it's a milval peh. We're not going to rely on this shtar to do those things that only a shtar can do. But in terms of relying on these edim to know that Reuven owes Shimon money, yeah, that's fine. That we could for sure rely on these edim. But to do those things that can only be done with a shtar, that we're not going to rely on it. What are those things that can only be done with a shtar? Says Rashbam, litrof mi lekuchos, to take away from lekuchos, take away from lechasim u'shabadim, to shnei edim aksuvim b'shtar v'demafkilei lekala, ve'enu el kemil v'alpeh, v'tarfim m'nechari, kidin amal v'eskaver be'edim below shtar. Because only when there are two edim signed in a shtar will a kol go out, and the lekuchos know to beware, and therefore only in those situations when there are two edim signed can you collect from the kuchos. But if there's only one aid signed and one aid is just verbally telling you his aidus, that's a milval peh where you cannot take from lekuchos. Another nafkamina, the gamalova yachalam parati v'lo yachalam avlitam lova hayelchal krashtar. The lova can say I already paid back, and the malva can't say, oh yeah, if you already paid back, why do I still have the shtar? Because the lova can say that's not a shtar, that has one aid signed on it. So that's why you still have the shtar. I didn't rip it up because there's only one aid signed on it. I didn't pay any attention to it. So that's another difference between a milva al peh versus a milva bishtar. By a milva al peh, if you say parati, so parati, that's it. It's considered to have been paid. By a milva bishtar, if you say parati, the malva can say, no, I still have the shtar. I have proof that you still owe me the money. So that's the chiddush of our Mishnah. When our Mishnah says that nei lechol is pasul, it means that the shtar is going to be pasul because it has only one aid signed on it, even though there's another aid that verbally confirms everything that it says in the shtar. A Memer, however, said that it was kosher when you have Eirecha B'Ksav Eirecha B'Al Peh. He thought that it was even, what does it mean kosher? So Rashbam says, L'shitaso, that this means it's kosher as a shtar. Not only that you could trust that this happened, but it's kosher as a shtar. You could be torif milukuchos. And if the lover says parati, the malva could say, oh yeah, then how come I still have a shtar? All the things that a shtar would have, we assume that it's motzi kol. So Amalei Rav Ashi La'Memer, V'hada Abaye Mai. So Rav Ashi says to Amemar, really, you think it's kosher when you have Eirecha B'Ksav Eirecha B'Al Peh? What are you going to do about Abaye? Abaye just said it's pasul. Amar Lei said, what am I going to do about Abaye? Lo Shmi'eli, Kolam Lo Svirili. I'm an Amora, he's an Amora. I don't have to agree with Abaye, right? I don't hold of him. What kind of question is that? What am I going to do with Abaye? Ella Kasha Masnisi said, no, I'm not asking you what are you going to do with Abaye. No, Kasha Masnisi, the real Kasha is, what are you going to do with our Mishnah? Our Mishnah said, great Chiddush, that on a get pasul, if you have only an Eid Echad, it's pasul. Well, that's only a great Chiddush if you say like Abaye, that the Chiddush is that even though there's another Eid Balpeh that's confirming what it says in the Shtar, that it still doesn't count as Eidus Bishtar, as a valid Shtar. But if you hold that it would count as a valid Shtar, when you have Eid Echad, B'Ksav, Eid Echad, Balpeh, so then what? Then what are you going to do with Abaye? Then what are you going to do with the Mishnah? What's the chiddush of the Mishnah that an Eid Echad is an Eid Echad on Get Pashut is problematic? Of course it's problematic. So he says, I'll tell you what I'll do with the Mishnah. Hakamash Mlan. Tishnayim b'makushar ke Eid Echad b'pashut. What the Mishnah is trying to tell me is trying to draw a parallel. It's trying to tell me not that Eid Echad on Get Pashut is possible. That we know without the Mishnah. But the Mishnah is trying to equate having two Eidim on a Get Makushar to having one aid on a get pashut in the following way. Mahasam psuladaraisa afachanami psuladaraisa. Just like having two aidim on a get makushar is very obviously a problem midaraisa, so to having two aidim to having one aid on a get pashut is also psuladaraisa, to have one aid on a get pashut. Fract all the Rishonim. Two aidim on a get makushar is a psuladaraisa? The whole idea of a get makushar and requiring three edim is only a din d'rabbanan. That's what the parak started with. It's only a takana d'rabbanan. So it's a psul d'oraisa to have two edim on a get makushar. How could you say psul d'oraisa? So both Rashbam and Tosfos over here say, nah, we don't really mean psul d'oraisa. Did we say d'oraisa? It doesn't really mean d'oraisa. Says Tosfos, love d'oraisa mamish to get makushar mit d'rabbanan havi. No, it doesn't really mean d'oraisa because the get makushar itself is only a din d'rabbanan. Kedamr le'el. Elamasha vlad mamzer midrabanan, ki echidavi mamzer bepsul pashut, kari le daraisa, v'lav dafka. Meaning what we're saying is, if you use this get to get divorced with, the child's going to be a mamzer. Meaning if the woman then gets remarried after this get and has a child, that child's going to be a mamzer. Aye, the get was only pasul midrabanan. Yeah, but that's how serious of a drabanan this was. That we make the child a mamzer. We treat it as seriously as a get that was pasul midaraisa to the point that we cause mamzerus with it. That's what it means daraisa, but it's not really a psul daraisa. Rashbam says that af shnayim shabemukusher hitilu alav chacham psula daraisa vim get enu megureshes from shtar milva who enu torif mishabdi. He says we make it pasul to the level of a shtar that was pasul midaraisa in the sense that the get would not be a good get, and that if it was a shtar alva, then a shtar chov, then you would not be able to be govim mishabadim. Right? That's the idea. Says Tosos Rashbam pirush psula daraisa to lo govim imnechari ve'en nira le rabita afilu ki avi psula d'rabbanan lo hayaget mi b'nei chari, lo hayagav mi b'nei chari. He says, well, that has nothing to do with the araisa. He says, that's a little difficult to understand, that you can't collect from nechasim b'nei chorin. That's the big chiddush, that it's possible mi d'araisa. Even if it were possible d'rabbanan, you wouldn't be able to collect from b'nei chorin. So Tal says, I like my pshat, the fact that we make a mamzerim, that we consider it as if it were psul d'araisa, but it's not really a psul d'araisa. Says the Yad Ramah, what do you mean it's not a psul d'araisa? It absolutely is a psul d'araisa. You know why it's pasul midaraisa? Because if you have a shtar and people sign, a regular shtar, midaraisa, and people sign on the back side of that shtar, that's pasul. That's not a kasher shtar. You have to sign on the bottom of the shtar. You can't sign on the reverse side of the shtar. I, the Chacham, made a takana that there's something called the Get Mekushar, where if you have three edim and you sign on the back and you do it exactly this way, that's also going to be a kasher shtar. Right? The Rabbanu were misakin, that's also a valid shtar. Yeah, if you follow all the rules. Then when is it okay to have the Edim signed on the back? When you had three Edim. When you followed all the rules that the Chacham said. You're only going to follow some rules and not the others? That's not a shtar that Chacham were misakin. That's for sure pasul midaraisa, it's pasul. It's just two signatures signed on the back. That's like a get pashut where they signed on the back. That's absolutely pasul. The Yad Ramah says he doesn't understand why the Rishonim are doing all these mental acrobatics to try to figure out what the word daraisa means. He says, pshuto kamashmo. It's really psul daraisa. Teda, so says Gemara, bring a raya. The shulchan mitam chavriel Rabbi Yirmiyah. Rabbi Yirmiyah's friends sent him a message wherever he was. Says Rashbam, why wherever he was? Why don't they just ask him what's the sending a message? Because you remember many, many blad ago on Daf Chav Gimel, the Gemara said that they threw Rabbi Yirmiyah out of the Beis Medrash. Problem was he was a big Talmud Chacham, and sometimes they needed to hear what he had to say. So they threw him out of the Beis Medrash, but they still consulted him on a lot of issues. So why did they throw him out of the Beis Medrash? Because that was the sugya of Rov Ukarov, where a bird that went 50 amos away from its nest and it couldn't fly yet, so then you know if it's within 50 amos it belongs to that nest, if it's beyond 50 amos it doesn't belong to that nest. And Rabbi Yirmiyah said, what if it has 1 foot within 50 amos and 1 foot outside of 50 amos, then what? And they said, you're asking ridiculous questions, and they threw him out of the Beis Medrash. So for that he was thrown out of the Beis Medrash. So now they had to send him all these shailas. So they asked him the following: if you have an Erech and Biksav and one Eid Balpeh, so can they combine together? According to Rabbi Shua ben Karcha, who appears in the third parak of Masech Sanhedrin and Daf Lamed, we can get to it in about a month from now, a little more than a month from now, who says that Edim, when they don't see the event together, let's say one group of Edim saw that Reuven borrowed money from Shimon on Monday, and the other one saw that Reuven borrowed money from Shimon on Tuesday, they can still be mitzaref. So according to Rabbi Shoben Karcha, that even Shnayim b'ksav Shnayim al peh lo mitzaref. So Rabbi Shoben Karcha said they can't be mitzaref, right? He says even zeachazeh ain't edusim mitzkayemes until they're meyah together. They actually have to come and say their testimony together. So according to Rabbi Shoben Karcha, there's no issue. Kiti bayilach alibid. I'm sorry. According to the Tanakam of Rabbi Shoben Karcha, there's no issue. Kiti bayilach alibid Rabbi Shoben Karcha. The whole issue is only according to Rabbi Shoben Karcha. Shnayim b'ksav Shnayim al peh hu demitzarfi. Maybe Rabbi Shoben Karcha says two and two could be mitzarif with each other, because each one on its own is a valid edus. But maybe one and one, you can't be mitzarif. Or maybe there's no difference. So shalach luhu ani ani chadai sheshlachtem li. He says, first of all, I'm very humbled. I can't imagine why you're asking me this shayla. But if you want to know my opinion, I think Rabbi Shoben and Karcha would say they are mitzarif. So that's the Raya Ta'amemar, that Erech Balpeh and Erech B'Ksav is Mitzarif, because you see that Rabbi Shoben Karcha, that Rabbi Yirmiyah held that way. Amar Lei, so they say back Ta'amemar, Anan Hachi Masinullah. No, we didn't learn that was the message. Ravashi says back Ta'amemar, that wasn't the message that Rabbi Yirmiyah sent. No, what the conversation with Rabbi Yirmiyah was as follows. We're going to have four versions of the conversation with Rabbi Yirmiyah. It was as follows. The Shulch Lechavreil Rabbi Yirmiyah, Shnaim She'idu, they sent if two people come in Armeid, Echad Bezin Zev, Echad Bezin Zev, one guy in this Bezin and one guy in another Bezin. Maushe Yavo, Bezin Esel, Bezin Vitzarfu, can two Batei Din get together and say, okay, together we have two Edim. Now, according to the Tanakam of Rabbi Nassan, Tanakam of Rabbi Nassan holds in Masech Sanhedrin that even in the same Beis Din, one guy that speaking not at the same time as another guy cannot be mitzarif. El kiti bayilach alibid Rabbi Nassan bechad Beis Din uhu demitzarfil betrei Beis Din lo mitzarfil demaloshna. The shaila is according to Rabbi Nassan that if one guy gives edus in the morning, another guy gives edus in the afternoon, that that Beis Din could be mitzarif them, what if they gave the edus in two different batei din? Can you still be mitzarif them? That was the shaila. V'shalach lu ani eni kedai shatem shalachtem li al kach das talmud chamnota sheit starf. He says, I don't know why you're asking me, but I think they can be mitzarif. Third version, Mar Brachi Amar Hachi Shalchulei, Shneim Sheidu Bezin Zeh V'Chazru V'Idu Bezin Zeh, Mao Sheyavu Echon Mikal Bezin V'Yitztarfu. Two people were made in this Bezin, then those same two people were made in another Bezin. Can different Dayanim from each Bezin get together to Mitztarif to be done? Alibid Rabbi Nassan Loti Ba'ilach Hashta Edim Mitztarfim Dayanim Ibai. According to Rabbi Nassan, even Edim from different Batedim can be Mitztarif, then of course Dayanim can be Mitztarif. El Kiti Ba'ilach Alibid the Tanakama, the Rabbi Nassan. The whole Shail is only within the Tanakama of Rabbi Nassim. Edim hudlam mitzarfinan av dayanim mitzarfinan al dum loshna. Is it dafka din in edim, but dayanim can be mitzarif, or maybe it doesn't make a difference? Shalchu ani eni kadai shatam shlachtem li el kaftas tal mitchamnot ashei starfu. I think they can be mitzarif. And the final version, Ravina mar halchi shalchulei. Shlosh ashiyashu l'kayim ashtar umeis echemehen. Three dayanim sit to be mekayim ashtar. One of them dies before they have a chance to sign the kiyum. So there are only going to be two signatures at the bottom of this kiyum ashtar. It's going to say, b'mos of Tlasa, Bedina, we sat, and then it's going to only have two signatures on the bottom. So Tzrich in the Michtav Mosav Tlasa Avina V'chadis Lesavi, Alo. Do they have to include in the Nusach that one of us is dead already, or do they not have to write that? So Shalach Lu, Ani Eni Chadai Shatam Shalachtem Li, Elekach Das Talmud Chem Notish, Tzrich in the Michtav Mosav Tlasa Avina V'chadis Havi. He says, I do think you have to include that in the text. Valda Ailu L'Rabbi Yirmi Bei Midrashim. Because of that psak, they brought Rabbi Yirmi back into the base of Medrash. He got back his old position. All right, we'll pick up from the Mission tomorrow.